On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us. God is with us. That's wonderful news. This Christmas, we're going to be focusing on this topic, God with us. Christmas time is a time of year that, even more than Easter, people who are not connected to church are most willing to come to church. It's a wonderful time to tell all people what it means that the Word became flesh, that God is among us. And this is so beautifully how it continues with our sermon topic series that we've been going through on the presence of God. And as we kind of launch into this Christmas season, we'll continue to focus on the presence of God. I want to start with the verse that we'll be starting off with every single week. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. This is what the scriptures say. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. For those of us who are followers of Christ, it's so easy to believe that God is with us when things are going well, when things are good. When you're on that mountaintop, it's easy to believe that God is with you. Whenever you get that really good news, you got that job or you got that raise, you find that significant other in your life, or something as simple as a parking spot in a mall close to the entrance, and you say, God is so good, he provided this parking spot for me. It's easy to sense the presence of God when things are going well and when you're on that mountaintop, right? But it's sometimes more difficult to sense his presence when you're in the valleys and the low places in life. When things aren't going the way you want them to. When you get bad news, when you're hurting, maybe when you feel a bit lonely, when you're worried, when you're afraid, when you're battling depression. And that's what I want to talk about this Sunday, is God with us in the valleys, in the low places in life. And what's so interesting to me is so often, much of life can be going really, really well. You know, in the Western society, we have all our basic needs met, and things can be going really, really well. And we got these different pockets where you're kind of on the mountaintop, and then there's maybe just this one thing that's just weighing everything else down. So much good, but this one thing is really bringing a serious weight to your life. It also amazes me how life can change from being on the mountaintop, everything is going well, to suddenly being in a valley. I remember when I was a young teen, life was going really well. School was good, lots of friends, home life was good, playing ice hockey, snowboarding on the weekends, and suddenly one day we got that news. My mom has cancer. And boom, you're in that, from that mountaintop into that valley. That tragedy that comes in and just seems to steal everything that you've been hoping for. And unfortunately, some of you are there right now, perhaps, today. Some season and pockets of your life are really good. Your marriage is blessed, but you've got a kid who's making bad decisions. And it really hurts to see them go through these difficulties. Or you're really close to God and you sense his presence, but same time, you're afraid you're going to lose your job. Or you're really excited about the holidays and family coming together and celebrating, but you just received some bad medical news about yourself or a loved one. So there's so many good things, yet there may be one, two, three things that just bring you down in that valley, in that difficult place in life. So what I want to talk about today is, where is God in those valleys? When you look at Scripture, it's interesting that these valleys represent several things. You see, in the valleys, there are often battles that take place, that happen. And some of you right now, you may be in the middle of a battle in a valley. Valleys were seasons of desperation. Valleys were seasons of loneliness. And it's interesting that valleys were also a time of growth in the Scriptures, that you may enjoy God in some ways on the mountaintop, but you experience Him in different ways when you're in those valleys. In fact, if you're taking notes or want to write something down this Sunday, you may want to write this down. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops. I believe there's a slide for this. You may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know Him intimately in the valleys. We may know Him, enjoy Him when times are really, really good and we're giving thanks and praise and worship to Him. But we do get to know Him in a different way when we're struggling, when we're battling in those valleys in life. I want to look at a text from the Old Testament. It's from Psalm 84. If you have your Bibles, you can open Psalm 84. And if you've ever read Psalm 84, chances are you've read right past this verse. Maybe you stopped and maybe you didn't even understand what it's fully talking about. And so today I want to look at these verses and bring some insights and hopefully impact your spiritual life in a very real way today. So we're going to Psalm 84, we'll start with verse 5. And we're going to see where God is in the valleys. This is what the psalm says, 84, verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, one of the first things that kind of puts a question mark perhaps in our mind is the Valley of Baca. What is the Valley of Baca? The Valley of Baca was most likely related to a tree with a very similar spelling. And this tree would ooze sap. Just ooze sap. And if you walked by this tree, often people would say, it looks like the tree is weeping, like it was crying. And that's why the Valley of Baca is translated in different ways in Scripture. It's called the Valley of Tears. You may have read that in Scriptures before. The Valley of Weeping or the Valley of Loss. It's talking all about the same place, the Valley of Baca. Anytime you see a valley in the Bible, you would see a place that was very, very dangerous. There'd be thorns or there'd be wild animals. There'd be people waiting to jump you and to rob you. In fact, it was very difficult to go through a valley without something bad happening. Very difficult to go through a valley in those times. But this is why the psalm says this in verse 5. He says, blessed are those whose strength is what? Is in God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, God. If you don't know God intimately, then chances are there are times when you just say, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I just can't go on. I just don't have enough strength. And the truth is, if you don't know God intimately, then what you have is all you have. But those who are Christ followers, we believe that we have a strength that goes beyond just what we have. That we have access to heavenly strength. And that's why the psalm has said, blessed are those whose strength is in you. You see, we believe that when we get to the end of our strength, there is a heavenly strength. There is a divine strength. There is a strength that, from our God that is available to those who know Him. I want to give you an example to kind of help you understand how this strength may work in our lives. Maybe a handful of years ago, I was at the gym, and I hadn't gone to the gym in a long time. And you know how you get older and you just kind of think that you can do what you did when you're younger? Who's had this experience? before, you know? You're just like, okay, I'm going to pick up right where I left off. Okay, I did some stretching, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the bench press. And I loaded up a typical way of what I used to be able to bench press. And got under that bench bar and looked around, and the closest person next to me was, you know, this bigger guy in a hoodie and hood benched up, and he's doing some deadlifts, and he's this big guy, and I'm just like, okay, well, here goes nothing, right? And I lift the bar and I start going. It feels pretty good. You know, I can do this. Oh, yeah, just like I did, you know, a few years ago, no problem. I think I got about 4 reps. I was like, okay, let's do 5, one more, and feeling good on the 4th, and then I bring it down to do the 5th, and oh, bar's not moving. I'm starting to sweat. I'm pushing harder. Bar's not moving. I start to panic, looking around. Somebody help me. And that guy doing the deadlifts, thank goodness, he noticed me. He came running over, and he lifted that bar, and I'm pushing, and he's lifting that bar. He just smiled at me and said, haven't been in the gym for a while, huh? Said, yeah, and thanked him. But the good news for those who are in Christ, that there is a bigger power than that Savior spotter who comes along. When we come to the end of our strength, there is a strength that steps in our weakness. I couldn't lift that bar, but there's a strength that stepped in that weakness. And that's what our God is like. When we are weak, when we are at the end of our strength, He steps in and strength comes in. The scriptures say, in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. And blessed are those whose strength is in God. Is your strength in God, guys? Is your strength in God? If you're in the middle of a valley right now, you have access to a very real, ever-present power of God. You don't have to go it alone on your own strength. He is available, and He's ready to come and assist you in your time of need. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in God. The text doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. It doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by the bootstraps, or blessed are those who are really determined. You see, one of the big problems of our society nowadays is we idolize a spirit of independence, right? We say, I don't want to need anybody. I want to be financially independent. I want to be completely good on my own. I don't want to trust people or be dependent on other people. I don't want people to be there for me. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. We were not created to be independent. Just on Friday morning, I was with Pastor Kimbo, and we went out to Langley to help Jason Hutchins pack his moving truck from his container. And if you don't know Jason, he was here with Pastor Brett Donald a few Sundays ago when Pastor Brett was preaching. And Jason has moved his family all the way from Ontario to come help and be a part of the ministry team of the Donald family, who are reaching the lost in Victoria, who we're partnering and helping, encouraging. And he'd been living in a trailer with his family for about 3.5 months because they couldn't find housing in Victoria. It's so hard. And I tell you, but he was saying that it's a beautiful thing to be dependent, to need others' help in life. Because in moments like this, you connect with fellow believers who come out to help you in your time of need. I thought about, that is so neat. I've never thought about it that way. That dependency, the need for help, can be such a beautiful thing that connects us together in life. So we're not created to be independent. We're created by our God to depend on Him and to depend on other people. Blessed are you when you realize you are dependent. And you have a power, you have access to a power that is greater than yourself. And some of you, you need to lean into it. You just need to admit it. I don't have what it takes. I need His presence. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. I want to show you verse 5 in a different translation because I love the way the New Living Translation highlights this verse. It says, "What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who've set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem." I love that. We're on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What does that mean? We may be in a valley, but we're going to what was known as a city of refuge, a place they called a place of peace, a place where God dwells. One commentary said this. It said, to get to the city of refuge, you had to travel through the valley of tears. I like that imagery. I just love that imagery. Sometimes to get where you really appreciate the presence and the power of God, you have to push through a little bit of pain and difficulty to get to the presence of the goodness of God. For so many, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. You see, we're on a pilgrimage. We're on this journey in life towards God's eternal kingdom. This is why the psalm has said it. He also said this, "What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds." Everybody say this with me. My mind is set. My mind is set. Come on, guys, everybody. My mind is set. Blessed are those who have their mind set toward God. You see, what you think matters. What you think about matters. Paul talked a lot about this in the New Testament. To the Colossian church, he said, set your mind on things above. Above, not on things below. Paul told the Philippians believers, he said, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy or admirable or lovely, think about such things. Where you are in life is one thing. What you think about is something else. What you think about matters. I want to give you an example. The other night, I was having a really hard time sleeping. It was about 3 a.m. in the morning, and I was tossing and turning, rolling around. I just couldn't sleep. My mind was thinking about work, about things I was stressed about. I just couldn't find sleep. I couldn't find rest. But as soon as I decided to set my mind on God, to give it to Him, find peace in Him, in His presence, I was able to relax and fall asleep. What you think about matters, guys. What you think about matters. So set your mind on God, on the things of God. Somebody, you need to hear this right now. Your current situation may be in a valley, but your mind can still be set upon God. You may be anxious, your heart may be racing, but your mind is set. Your soul may be aching and worrying, but your mind is set. Your emotions may be up and down, racing, but your mind is fixed toward God. There may be too much to do, a lot of pressure, but your mind is set on God. And there's real tragedies that bring us in the valley, but your mind can be set on the goodness of God. He is with me. He is for me. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in this world. Amen? My God is going before me to prepare a way for me. His Spirit gives me strength when I am weak. I need Him every moment of every day. Are you dependent on Jesus? His word's a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. When I cannot make it, His power is very, very real. Who's experienced this? Amen. There's testimony in this room. You've experienced this. I may be in a valley, but my mind is set on the kingdom of God. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm going to the place of peace. You may be in a valley, but your mind is fixed. Verse 6 says, I love this phrase. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. A place of springs. As they pass through the valley of Baca. In other words, you may be in a valley right now, but the valley is not your destination. It's not something where you're going to remain. What are we doing? We're passing through. We're passing through. I may be in a valley right now, but that's not my home. I'm journeying to a place of peace. I'm just passing through. My God will get me through this. I'm just passing through. David said something similar in Psalm 23. He said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will feel fear no evil, for you are with me. I may be in a valley, but I'm passing through. It may be a difficult time, but God's going to get me through. I may be hurting right now, but it's not going to be hurting forever. God's going to get me through this. My God is going to pull me through. Sometimes we're in the middle of it and we just want to get out. We say, God, get me out. Make it go away. Make it stop. I don't want this anymore. Just take it away. What you have to realize so often is God may show you that the way is through the valley and not immediately out of the valley. The road to the path of peace is often through the valley. And we're just passing through. I love this next phrase. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make a place of springs. Place of springs. What does that mean? The King James Version says it this way. It says, they make it a well. They make it a place of springs. They make it a well. In other words, when you're in a dry place, what do? You dig a well. You make a well. In other words, you take something and you dig a hole as a container, as a provision of rain that God will send. God hasn't sent it yet. It's dry right now, but when you're dry and when you're hurting, you make room for the presence of God. You make room for the presence of God. You make room for his provision. You make a well. You dig a well. And I know my God will provide what I need, so I make a container preparing for the presence and provision of God. It's almost as if God would say something like this, if you show me your faith, I will show you my faithfulness. If you dig it, I will fill it. If you prepare for me, I will show up. If you show me your faith, I will show you my faithfulness. And Jesus apparently had this kind of philosophy as well. In the New Testament, there's a guy with a withered hand. Instead of Jesus just healing him, Jesus says what? He says, stretch out your hand and I will heal it. Show me that you believe I can do it and I will do it. A man couldn't walk for almost 40 years and Jesus didn't just heal him. Instead, he said what? Get up, take up your mat. You get up and show me you believe that I can make you walk. Show me your faith and I will show you my faithfulness. I don't know who this is speaking to, but someone, you need to hear it. If you dig it, he will fill it. If you plant it, he will grow it. You need to plant seeds before there's a harvest, right? If you pray it, God hears and answers. If you dig it, if you prepare, God will reveal himself. I love the if promises that God has in Scripture. If you draw near to me, God says, I will draw near to you. You show me that you believe, and I'll show you my presence. If you seek me, what? You will find me. If you make room for me, I will reveal myself to you. If you open the door when I knock, I will come in and eat with you. And there's somebody here, you haven't sensed the presence of God in a long time. It's time to make a well. It's time to dig a well. It's time to say, God, I'm going to stop and wait for your presence. I'm going to prepare for your provision, for your presence, because if you dig it, he will fill it. Think about this. Think about this, guys. Some of you really need to have an encounter with God. And God rarely reveals himself to people who are in a rush. And this should sink into us. We need to take time to be in his presence, to seek for him. Imagine Moses in the burning bush, and Moses is walking or running by, tending to his flock, and he sees a burning bush, and he quickly looks at it and goes, wow, there's a bush burning there, cool. No, that's not what happens. God says, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. Take time. Listen to me. Be with me. Be still. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. If you seek me, you will find me. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Be still and know that I am God. Some of you, it's just time to prepare and say, God, I want to meet with you. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to believe that you're going to reveal yourself to me because I need you right now. You know, I had moments in my life where I've been tremendously troubled, where I've been so full of sorrow and loss or discouragement or depression that I've just had to leave everything and go and find an encounter with God, to seek his presence, to be in his presence, to pray. God, please show up. I need you. And let me tell you what's never happened. There's never been an audible voice. There's been no big rainbow. There's been no shaking of the ground. But what happened is I truly just sensed the comforting presence of God, a peace of his presence washing over me. God, I need you. I'm just going to wait on you. I'm going to dig a well, prepare for his presence. And if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. God, I need your presence. And God has met me in the valley time and time again. We enjoy him so much on the mountaintops, right, church? But we get to know him intimately in the valleys. So here's what I hope you'll understand. God never promised that you would never go through a valley. He promised you would never go through a valley alone. He is with you. God with us. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. I love the way the psalmist phrases this portion of scripture. He says, as we journey through the valley of Baca, we're going to the place of peace. Then he says, they go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. I love this phrase, strength to strength. Blessed are those who experience the strength of God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. They go from a little bit of strength to a little more strength, to even more of God's strength, to even more of his strength, and then a little more of his strength until they reach and appear before God in Zion. They will go from strength to strength, from strength to strength. Not our strength, but his strength, guys. His strength. And here's what I want you to understand. We praise him in the valley because we may enjoy him on the mountaintops. But listen to me, we get to know him in the valleys. We get to know him in the times of trouble. He reveals his character to us, his faithfulness, his strength. And we can sense his strength in a different ways that we otherwise can't. When we're totally and completely in need of him. When our strength fails and we have nothing. When we're weak. Then we see his marvelous strength. Who is God? In the middle of our weakness, our God is our strength. When you're in darkness, who is God? Our God is our light in the darkness. When you're a season of trouble, who is our God? He is our joy in troubled times. When you're in the middle of pain, who is our God? He is your comforter in the middle of your pain. That's who our God is. We pass through the valley even though we're in the valley, we do not fear. Why? Because he is with us. He is with us, and there is nothing that can separate us from his love and his presence. That's who our God is. That same God who is good on the mountaintops, he is good to us in the valleys, and we get to know him in the valleys. So if you're in the valley right now, know that you're just passing through. You won't be there forever. Our God will lead you out. He is good. He is with you. He is present, and he will take you and give you strength and bring you from strength to strength. And when you can't handle anymore, lean into him. Let his strength be everything you need. It's called humility. It's called humility. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because our God is with us. Our God is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is a beautiful truth, guys, about God, the true God, the Christian God, is a personal God, a God who draws near to us, the one who gave his one and only Son so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that we can be brought into the presence of our Father to know him personally. And guys, salvation is just the beginning to a new life with God. And I want to encourage you to live out your life in his presence. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you came into this world to show us the way to the Father, so that all who call on your name would be saved. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Jesus, that by your wounds we are healed from the sickness of sin, and we have been given eternal life, abundant life, new life that is here and now available in you, Jesus. Father, today I pray especially for those who are in the valley, that you would be everything they need. I pray, God, that you would move, that you would reveal yourself, that you would be their strength. God, I thank you that you are there. Thank you that you are there for us every single day. And God, thank you there. You are there for those today who will dig a well, who will prepare for a provision of your power and your presence. Lord, teach us to just be still, to wait on you, to know that you are God, and say, we need you. We need you. We need your presence. Draw near to us, Father, as we draw near to you. And I pray for miracles, God. I pray for miracles, Father. And we thank you that even before the answer comes, even before we see you move, we thank you for what you are going to do, for what you will bring us through, because you are the living God, and you never leave us. You are with us in the difficult times of life, and often, Lord, we just want to know you in those valleys in a deep, intimate way, and thank you that you do that. We praise you. We praise you, God, for not just what you do, but for who you are. We thank you that you are Emmanuel. You are God with us, who will never leave us and never forsake us. So, Father, bless this Christmas season and help us to stay focused on the message that you came into this world, that you humbled yourself, that you left all that majesty, glory, worship behind, and you put on yourself as mankind, as human form, to come in this world, to know pain, to humble yourself, to serve, to show us who you are, Father, and to ultimately give your life so that we can have life. You're such a good God. There is no God like you, and you are the eternal one, that we worship. Bless each person as we go from here. And we pray over each other in the name of Jesus, and we bless your name. Amen.